Our new format, we're going to be swapping things around, and on Friday, instead of describing Rashi, which we discussed yesterday, we'll continue on our normal routine. So our normal routine during Elul is we're trying to learn some of Lichtenstein's ideas of tshuva, in particular, written up in this new Sefer, published about a year ago, Return and Renewal, and in this very stunning piece that we started to discuss Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday before we got, quote-unquote, sidetracked with Hasidus and sidetracked with Rashi. To me, a very intriguing piece that tshuva is not just about your actions and not just about your behavioral cycles, but about your motivations. And Rav Aaron confessed that one of his most beloved psukim is v'tayer l'yibeinu l'yavtecha b'emes, and he deconstructed it into three different sections. The first section he talked about was emes, and last time we talked about how Rav Aaron encouraged us to pursue emes as opposed to errors, but also emes as opposed to forgeries and falsehoods, whether they're falsehoods in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu or falsehood in motivation. Even when we do mitzvahs, is it for preening, grandstanding? Are there chumras we take that don't fit whom we are? Do we tzenua? Do we have modesty? What are our motivations for mitzvahs? So we also have to inspect those when we perform tshuva. The second part that Rav Aaron addressed in this section is the definition of libeinu. What is libeinu? Why do we want to be mitayer libeinu li'avdecha b'emes? Before I get to that, I sort of mention one point. I'm not sure that it's totally, totally relevant, but one day it will be relevant. When Rav Aaron talked about emes, he talked about what he called partial emes and an integrative emes. What do I mean integrative emes? The highest midah a person could ever reach is a midah of shleimus. Shleimus would be loosely defined as integrity. We use integrity as a synonym for goodness and virtue. That person, he has integrity. She has integrity. That person is a thief. He has no integrity. But in truth, integrity just means integration. What it means is you're the same person no matter what context. Now, in theory, you could have integrity and be a terrible person, right? You kill everyone you see, no matter whether it's your home, in the workplace, you're a murderer, or you're right. So integrity doesn't necessarily mean virtue. It means you're the same person in every context. We take it as a sign of virtue because part of the goal in life is to take all the different parts of you and make them one. Now you're sitting in the base medrash. Gut check. Who are you right now? If you're going away for Shabbos, are you the exact same person when you're not in the base medrash? Of course you're not. What about when you're playing sports? What about when you're in college? It's hard when you're young because that's part of building an identity. Once there's an internal identity, that identity integrates you. You're able to say, well, I have who I am, and the setting doesn't matter. When you're still impressionable, the setting impacts you. But the goal in life is not just to have proper mitos, not just to have the proper mindset, but to have that mindset independent of context. No matter where you are, so I'm a little old, no one ever reaches it. It's a pursuit of a lifetime. But I imagine you came to my house, hopefully, and you saw me as a father, dressed a little bit differently, taking out the garbage, cleaning the dishes. More or less you'd feel, hopefully, I don't know, maybe it's not true. Oh, that's the same person. I can feel more or less it's very little difference. That's what we're shooting for in life. Navarro said that's a difference, a higher level of emes, because he quoted the pasuk in Tehillim. Let's see if I can get it right. Taraz Hashem Tamim Meshivas Nafash. Edus Hashem Ne'emana, honesty, Meshivas Nafash. Mitzvah Hashem Bar Minas Naim, Yiras Hashem Torah Meslam, Mishpate Hashem Emes, Tzadku Yachtav. So he loved that phrase, Tzadku Yachtav. He liked the phrase Yachtav, Tzadik and Yachtav. He called it, he wrote it down, righteous altogether. You're righteous by being altogether. It's the Yachtav. It's that you have that, we think of Achdos and Yachtav, Yachad, but how can there be a Yachad? How can there be an inner Achdos? How could, not just an external Achdos, how could there be a, so think about it. Obviously, it's really, really, really hard. And it's hard when you're young, but just appreciate it when you see it in other people. In Yiddish, it's called gleich. Gleich, like everything's smooth. Gleich in Yiddish means smooth. I think I heard this from Dov Lipschitz. The only thing I can quote from Dov Lipschitz is from a Shiva on YU. So just think about this trait a little bit. The altogether righteous as another higher form of MS, a real MS. We are, some of these, I think I would probably call it authenticity. You know, sometimes with people in life who, you know, really, who do we really migrate to? And like people who we feel are being authentic to us. They're not hiding themselves. They're not like, okay, here I'm your Rebbe. I'm about to tell you the pontification and the preaching for today's share. Then they're going to go home. Okay, is that person authentic? Is it giving you their real self? Are they revealing who they are and sharing themselves with you rather than holding back? And to a degree, people have integrity, have an easier time because there's one self that comes through no matter whom they are and in one setting. Then Rav Lichtenstein analyzed libeinu. What are we searching for in our hearts to be mitayer libeinu liyavdecha b'emes? He actually discussed all four aspects of this: tahara, emes, liyavdecha, and libeinu. We'll just talk about libeinu today. So Rav Aaron talked about all the different areas that we want our heart to be true in avodas Hashem and tahara. but he specifically focused on tefillah, because tefillah is the area that the heart infuses with the most emes, but also it's the avodah shebelev. So when I'm taking lulav, the avodah is the avodah seguf. The lev should infuse it with authenticity, but that's not the mechanism of the mitzvah. But the mechanism, the seed of the mitzvah of davening is in your heart. If you're not having kavanah in your heart, there's no tefillah. It's a conversation with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, which is why mitzvah saying tzrichas kavanah, you don't have to have kavanah for lulav, but if you don't have kavanah during davening. So Rav Aaron said, what are the challenges? So Rav Aaron broke it down into two different, I'll say, be very brief. One challenge is just classic. Classically, it's really hard to have kavanah. So Rav Aaron quoted a story, and Yishalmi. The story I know, because the Rami Tel always quoted it, the Talmidim, the Baal Shem Tov, once asked the Rebbe, how do we tell the difference between a real Hasidish Rebbe and a fake Hasidish Rebbe? Because in the early days, there were a lot of imposters. So the Baal Shem Tov told the Talmidim, if any Rebbe tells you he has a foolproof mechanism for kavanah and tefillah, you should know he's a faker, because it doesn't exist. So even the Baal Shem Tov was aware of how hard it is to have kavanah during davening. And then Rav Aaron quoted Yishalmi, never saw before. I actually looked it up last night, like 115. This is Yishalmi should underline. Yishalmi Brachos Perek Beis, Halacha Dalet, that all the Amoraim, at whom were clocking in with how hard it was for them to have kavanah. One Amor says, you know, I spent my whole life counting chickens when I was davening. The other Amor says, I was counting blocks. And the other Amor says, I was thinking about diplomatic maneuvers, you know, like how to win favor. Like they come out clean, they come clean, they say, I really never had kavanah. So there are people, again, who are really authentic and honest. It's really hard to have kavanah. And in Mirtz Hashem, when we talk about tefillah, after Yom Tov, I'll give you tips, my five tips for successful tefillah without kavanah. You know, how could you have a successful tefillah even though you don't have any kavanah? Because there's so many ways to have successful tefillah. So it's hard in general, but it's particularly hard for modern people. Why is it hard for modern people? So Rav Aaron itemized three issues. Number one, because we don't live in a period of need. The foundation of tefillah is you need Hashem, you're dependent on Hashem, you're fragile, you're worried. Karv Hashem l'nish b'rei leiv. You feel that you're missing something in your life. You're sick. You're ill. You want to improve your davening. Spend a day in the hospital and daven with people who really come down on oxygen tanks and IVs and after surgeries and hardly walking. And I promise you, your davening will change afterwards. So we don't really live with need. We live in a world of technology and empowerment and progress and self-definition. And so it's harder to feel need. Second of all, the world is secular. And a world that's secular doesn't really believe. I keep saying this. I keep hammering away at this word. You'll hear me hammer away at this word again and again this year. Metaphysics. There aren't just physics. The world believes in physics and math and empiricism and what we can trace. There's also a world and many worlds we don't see. And science can't reach. And science can't analyze. And prayer is part of that world. When you daven, you can't trace empirically. Again, there are studies that show that people that pray are healthier. And basically, you don't see cause and effect in davening. So we have a secular mindset. Our eyes are trained to look at traffic lights and traffic cops and cause and effect and machinery, but rather not metaphysical machinery. And the third issue is what Rav Aaron called pervasive rationalism. That we're so rational that do we even allow ourselves to feel emotion? Forget feeling need. Forget feeling the prayers are effective. Do we allow ourselves to run into that emotional world where tefillah is, it's not just emotion. I've told you many times that spirituality is not necessarily emotional, but that whole inner world. So many people today are bottlenecked. There's so much happening up in their heads, and there's very little happening in their chest, in their thorax. It's just very mental, very cerebral. And are they able just to express, to cry? Meretz Hashem, I'm going to talk to my shir, but for those who are not in my shir, those who are no longer in my shir, remember, there's a lot of raw emotion on display in Israel and yeshiva in general during slichos. And a lot of American boys and English are not prepared for it. You come from places where people are very hushed when they say slichos, or there's a lot of singing maybe in slichos. The modus operandi, the MO here of slichos, is a lot of shrieking and screaming and crying and emotions you're not necessarily accustomed to being exposed to. So first of all, allow yourself to be a little awkward when you first come into slichos in the Beis Medrash, but also realize that these are people that are very, very free with expressing their emotions, and that's really good in life, to cry, to shriek, not to shriek at people, but not to feel that you have to bottle up your emotions because you're opening up your emotional pathways, hopefully, on Kodesh Baruch Hu. So this is what intrigues me about this piece. Classic Rav Aaron, taking the pasuk, dividing it into four, Tyre, Libeinu, Liyavdach, Abdiemis, what does each word mean? And he talked a lot about Emes and a lot about the blade. We talked a little bit about Tahara, but I think we're going to go to the next piece and make the show next week. Okay? Shabbat shalom, everyone.
Wow.